These are the Keshi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Keshi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
Hey, everybody, it's time for episode 52 of the Keshi Tapes. It's our one-year anniversary show. I'm John Hewlett. That's the mighty Favaz.
Hi, Johnny. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary,
yeah,
baby.
That's it.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
And then George McCardle with the bass.
Boom, yeah. Boom, boom, oh, yeah. Boom, boom, boom. I did the ending. You did the
yeah,
first.
Yeah, I did the beginning.
Okay, so today we're going to do something totally different. No interviews, right?
Right. We had this idea last Friday. Actually, Learn helped out with it and said, why don't we take questions from our podcasters? And this will be our year-end show. We can talk about any of the interviews that we featured, take their questions, whatever. So I've got their questions right here. Would you like to hear the first one?
Let's do it.
All right. This is from Michael C. He says, who came up with the idea for the podcast? Great job every week, guys. Keshi rocks, and so do the jocks. Thanks, Michael.
Well, I don't know. It kind of evolved out of
that meeting.
That meeting that we were having, a staff meeting. And I don't know. One of us, you or me, brought it up, and then we just kind of took off.
The guy from Cincinnati brought it up.
That's right.
He said that all of the interviews, he saw the Hall of Fame interviews online. And he said, that's a gold mine for a podcast. Why don't you do something with the interviews? And then, you know, the meeting went on and on, and we talked and talked. And then you and I afterwards said, well, why don't we just do our own? You know, your interviews, my interviews. You know, but it was your idea that said, let's pause them. Because at first I was just going to play the interview back and then talk about it all afterwards. But it was your really good idea that said, hey, why don't we pause it, you know, when we have questions or we want to give each other shit or whatever. And thus the Keshi Tapes were born.
Yeah. And not like the science fiction thing that they used to do where they would play back movies and make fun of the movie. We're not necessarily doing that because we're involved in these interviews.
Yeah.
You know, we're just not taking somebody else's random interviews and making fun of them.
Right.
This is us talking about our interviews, what it was like interviewing that person, what the scenario was at that particular time, what the subject matter was supposed to be, why they were calling us or visiting us.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more than just a ripoff of an old idea that some people have said, well, it's just like sci-fi. No, not totally like that.
It's ours, and you just made me think of Zach Wilde, you know, about the circumstances surrounding when he threatened to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one of the episodes that we have. And it was, it was difficult for me to listen to that one again, you know, and to go back to some of the, you know, some of these interviews that we've featured on the Keshi Tapes. We have forgotten that we had did them.
Yes.
Too. So,
yeah.
It's been neat.
Because we're going back in some cases with these interviews to the 1970s.
Right, you are.
For me.
For the earliest for me would be, you know, mid-90s, something like that.
Yeah.
So.
There are others, too, that we'd love to do, but they're kind of held up for legal reasons because of some music content.
That's coming up.
Okay.
Hold that thought. All right. You ready for question two?
Yeah.
This is from David Bill. Great podcast. Curious, since Slash seemed uncomfortable and averse to discussing the riot in the 2001 interview, why bring it up again in the 2004 interview with Slash and Duff, the one that I did at the pageant? The reason that I brought it up in 2001, that 2001 interview, because we had just passed the anniversary, the 10-year anniversary of the riot in St. Louis. So, you know, 10-year anniversary is a big deal.
Sure.
Just like our one-year anniversary here. So the reason that I brought it up again in 2004 was because Duff was there, and it was the first time that I had ever interviewed Duff. Obviously, then first time, you know, since the riot, and I wanted to get his opinion on the whole thing. And Slash was more than cool to talk about it again in 2004, but that's why it got brought up again.
Yeah, and keep in mind as time goes on, time tends to heal issues and wounds and things like that. And, you take a shot. Maybe 4 years ago he wasn't willing to talk about it, but today he might be.
Right.
You know, so there's nothing wrong with bringing it back up. And I applaud you for doing that because we got stuff out of him that we wouldn't have necessarily have gotten.
Right. And do you remember the thing that you kind of, and I did too, but that you harped on with Duff? in that interview?
Yes. It was the way he was talking. He had the gurgles.
Skykies.
Yeah.
He had skykies or loogies.
In his throat the whole time. And it was so noticeable. Yeah.
That was funny.
I just was talking to somebody just the other day at dinner. We had dinner with somebody, and the whole time he talked, his gurgles in his throat.
And they didn't realize it to clear their throat?
I don't know.
Wow. That's kind of sucks. All right, moving on. I think this is the same guy, David Bill. Yeah. David also says, not a question, but loved hearing from Hetfield, James Hetfield. More Metallica in year two. I have a Jason Newsted, and I believe I have a Kirk Hammett somewhere. I know where the Newsted is. The Hammett, I'd have to dig a little bit, but I think I have those. And James Hetfield just went into rehab last week.
Yeah, that's right. And I believe I have a Robert Trujillo that I did.
Oh, that's right. And you have Trujillo.
Yeah.
That you did at the record store or whatever it was. Yeah.
Right. Hopefully that was recorded on our system
in Cherokee.
Here. Yeah.
So, hopefully that... loved talking to them. Here is one from Jay Sablewski. Loved Chris Cornell. Any chance we could hear any more from the grunge guys? I have a Jerry Cantrell.
Do you?
Somewhere. That might be it as far as grunge goes.
Yeah. I'd have to think more on that. I don't know.
Nothing from Pearl Jam.
No.
Nothing from Nirvana. Nothing from Foo Fighters. But Jerry Cantrell, I remember sitting with him before Alice in Chains opened up for Kiss at the Enterprise Center years ago. So that's somewhere.
I talked to Ann Wilson, I think, about the grunge era in an interview with her somewhere, but that's about as close as I get.
One. Yeah. And the Chris Cornell was fun to hear. Well, it was weird hearing back, but at the same time, Chris took his own life, and to hear that interview again was really weird because he was so nice.
Yeah,
that was
I know.
Such a fun interview.
You would not have suspected anything like that from him because he was an engaging person. It's not like you had draw anything out of him, and he was withdrawn and difficult to talk to. He was exuberant.
Yeah. He really was. Yeah. He was funny. He wanted to know about the Zach Wilde thing.
Yeah.
Because he was friends with Zach. He goes like, what'd you do?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. He knew I did something, but I don't know. This one is from Mark Doris. Hi, Mark. Mark works at the Alton Schnooks. I see him. He's a big fan. I have listened to all 51 Casey tapes and some twice.
Wow.
I have noticed that most of the podcasts are 15 to 30 minutes long. True. I bet Casey Guy and you, man, have done hundreds of interviews. My question is, could you do more than one interview at a time on this show?
Oh, I see. Make it a longer show.
Yeah, make it a longer show.
Multiple interviews. I like it the way it is. I like the single interview format. Yeah.
I do, too. Even, each of us have multiple Sammy Hagars. I can only see us doing one because they're quite honestly, 15 minutes, I think, is long enough.
Yeah.
And although our most downloaded podcast still to this day, after a year, is Shelley Grafman, the architect of Casey. And that thing rang in at about an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
But isn't the reason for that because people will listen to it for a while and then stop and then pick back up later. And
true.
That counts as, you know.
But still, I think number two might be it's the Slash and Duff from 2004. It's like 2000 behind. So, and that one wasn't nearly as long as the Shelley Grafman. So it was interesting content, and it was long. And what you said, people listen to it and they get out of their car and they come back and listen to it again. But still, it was good stuff, So, all right. So now, we're going to get into two people had the same question. Michael Tucker is a big Casey fan, Sammy fan, lives in Rochester, I believe, with his wife. And he submitted a bunch of questions. So but the first one says favorite interview ever, favorite subject to repeat interview. I have a fair guess at last one here. And then somebody else wrote his name is Dry Rub and a Tug. Who or what group have been your favorite interview that you have conducted? If you could interview one music person living or dead, who would it be? So we could knock out the two of them with favorite interview ever.
Favorite interview ever. Wow. For me, I don't know. The one we can't play was a lot of fun with Melissa Etheridge.
That was okay. Go ahead.
So
say why we can't play that one.
Now
we play the interview. Yeah, I'll save it.
Okay. Talk about that. Right. That one. See, favorite interviews. Oh my gosh. People who came into the studio and given mornings. Sam Kennison was fun.
You know,
I hope I find that
Do
one
you have
of these
that?
Days.
Yeah,
it's got to be around
that.
Somewhere. The late comedian. for me, I'd love to interview two people, Eric Clapton and Paul McCartney.
Right. And I had one.
And you did. You got one of those.
And I think mine was my favorite interview ever was Paul McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Beatle. Doesn't get any better than that. And yes, I would love to interview Eric Clapton, and I would also love to interview Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No doubt.
And neither will never happen.
No, I know. But you never know. Someday
yeah, you, never
you
know.
Might
it's
end up in a
thing.
Strange situation.
Strange
you know?
Situation, or you might say, hey, we can get Bruce on the phone tomorrow.
Yeah.
Promoting whatever.
You know? Right.
We got both of them.
And I'd like to say one of my favorite interviews, too, is with Ozzy Osbourne.
Ah, yeah.
I don't know where that is.
When he spilled the tea or the cigarette butt in your shoe.
Yeah, in my shoe. And Mark Emo was with me that day from the pizza family. He was holding the tape machine. I was holding the microphone and my notes. And, yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Ozzy was sitting there with Sharon.
Yeah.
She didn't do any talking because she wasn't a talker back then.
Right.
Like
right.
she is now.
Like she is now.
Yeah.
And I sat with them once, too, at that press conference in Ozfest. And Ozzy had the big neck brace on. He had just almost killed himself on that ATV that he had over in Britain. And so, anyway. Oh,
another great interview that I hope I find one of these days is with Pete Townsend in England when Smash and I went over there for the Nebworth concert.
Mm-hmm.
And we did some broadcasts from England, and he came by, and Greg Lake of Emerson, Lake & Palmer came in, and I'm forgetting some of the others, but man, that was...
Oh, no, you ran
no.
after Yoko.
Yeah, I don't know where that interview is either, my Yoko Ono interview.
Yeah.
But keep listening, folks.
I remember the picture.
Because I'm still going through a lot of tapes. I only got through about half of them last winter.
Right.
I don't do it during the summer because my schedule gets real busy with the Cardinals and everything else. And two daughters getting married and all that kind of stuff. So now that things are going to start slowing down here after the playoffs, and hopefully that won't happen until the end of October and the Cardinals win the World Series, then I'll be getting back into trying to find some more of these old interviews on cassettes and reel-to-reels.
And I just brought in a ton. So we're good for at least another year, if not longer. I would think so.
Hopefully.
Tuck again says, they say never meet your heroes. True for you guys?
Oh, no. I've never been really disappointed by a hero. I mean, in the baseball world, some of them kind of got on me a little bit and weren't the easiest of interviews, but they didn't disappoint me. I mean,
the only one for me was Zach.
Yeah.
You know, because
I can imagine.
We were friends, you know, and I joked with him and then he turned on me.
Yeah.
And so that one was disappointing. Everybody else has been, you know, even like the time I met McCartney was super cool. And, you know, Sammy is exactly how you picture him and how he sounds. And
he's off the charts good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of even on the phone, has anybody ever been difficult in phone interviews? Because
George Thorogood is kind of a prick sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He, and, you know, I just did a video interview with him in July. And he was kind of a jerk. He was, and I just
of all people. Why?
I know, and we haven't played that, but I don't know why.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And there are just some people who are not good interviews. You know? Dave Mason is a very difficult interview.
Right,
I got one of those in the can somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Want another one?
All right.
What another one from Tuck? What interviews got a fast no for inclusion, and why? I don't think we've even said no to anybody, anything.
No, other than legal, a couple of those legal issues.
Oh, yeah, yeah, which we're going to get to.
I did it. Oh, go ahead.
I don't know. Let's see. Da-da-da. No, tell people why now.
Oh, yeah.
So this is why we can't do some of the interviews, you know, at least two that
least
we
two,
can think of.
Yeah.
Because?
The one with Foreigner.
Right.
I'm singing with Foreigner, with Lou Gramm of Foreigner and Mick Jones. And because we can't play music on podcasts, we don't know if we have the right to do those, even though we probably own them. Well, we do own them because they happen on our airwaves.
Right.
But it's their music we're doing.
Right.
So legally, we're confused on what to do with those.
We were told not to play it.
Yes, but it's possible we might be able to. So
and ask forgiveness later.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we can. And the other one is Melissa Etheridge.
That's the one that I was sitting watching remember?
Yeah.
Because we did that one in the production studio in the old building. And you sang Stairway to Heaven with her.
Yes, I sang Stairway to Heaven with her. And she taught me how to play the E chord on the guitar. And it was perfect. And then we started singing a song that I started strumming to. And it was...
I say we do that one, man. We got to do that one.
I know. I think so, too. But we'll see. Stay tuned.
All right. Tuck again says, toughest interview subject. Athlete, musician, actor, director, writer, comedian, author, people from Kansas City. Toughest interview subject for you.
Well, I mean, over the years, there have been some difficult sports interviews. Guys
right.
who got traded in tough circumstances. Keith Hernandez, for instance. When the Cardinals traded him, I remember interviewing him after that. That was tough to do. Because you don't want to ask the wrong thing. Mark McGwire
right.
was notable, difficult
oh.
person to deal with.
Yes, he was.
He would let me interview him from time to time, but he was not going to entertain any question he didn't like.
Yeah.
He was going to make you feel bad for asking it. Who else?
You know, for me, T.J. Oshie.
Oh, really?
So T.J. Oshie, you know, played for the Blues. He has gone on, got traded to the Washington Capitals, won a Stanley Cup there. I had him when he was a rookie,
mm-hmm.
Before he played his first NHL game. And he didn't like rock music. So when I would have these hockey players, and I always said, hey, you know, play whatever you want. You know, Brett Hall was great.
Yo, he was awesome.
Because he loves
favorite
rock.
Favorite interviews, Brett Hall,
yeah.
hands down, every damn time, yeah.
And, you know, Reed Lowe was great, and... I just, you know, Eric Johnson back in the day, but TJ just didn't. And it was like pulling teeth to
yeah.
try to get him to respond mm-hmm. to stuff. And, I came to find out that he was a country music fan.
Mm.
I was like, sorry, we don't play any country
yeah.
on Casey. So for me, I mean, the one that I think of is TJ Oshie.
Mm.
That's the one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, a lot has to do with when you're catching these people, you know, what they're trying to promote or what controversy they might be caught up in. All that stuff plays into how the eventual outcome of the interview is going to be. I mean, I don't know. For the most part, I guess I've been lucky. They've
yeah.
they've all pretty much gone.
I've been lucky too.
Pretty well. Just wish I could find more of them, and hopefully I will, because there are some classics out there over the years, man,
yep.
that I know are out there, but where?
Right. Here's the last one. What interview have you always wanted and couldn't get? From Tuck. Thanks, Mike. I think the ones that we mentioned earlier, Clapton, Springsteen, would love to get.
Yeah. Mick Jagger, you know.
Yeah.
Anybody from the Stones,
yeah,
really.
Keith Richards would love. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything like that would be really cool. You know, I just deal with mainly the music world, so that's who I would think.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I don't know why. I mean, as time goes on here and we keep talking, I keep thinking of people that I probably interviewed. I kind of remember interviewing them. It's possible. I met the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
In Copenhagen.
You shook hands with Mick Jagger.
With all of them.
We talked about that.
Yeah, with all of them.
Yeah.
We didn't do an interview that day, but I think there's a Keith Richards interview with me and him on the phone some point, too.
Hmm.
But I don't, you know, seems like that happened to me.
Hmm. Well, that's all the questions.
That's
it. Do you have any questions for me?
Let me see. I don't know. Just you think we got another year of these?
I do. I seriously think we have another year.
But the next year is not going to be as spectacular as this past year.
Well, no, I was just about to say, because we have concentrated on this first year and we've tried to present A-listers.
Right.
You know, now we're getting to the point where we've had all the A-listers, but now we're going to do B-list interviews.
But there still could be some A-listers
yeah.
floating out there, like I was just talking about. Maybe a
right.
Keith Richards, maybe a Pete Townsend.
Right. And we're not going to do any interviews that people have never heard of. So when I say B-listers, I don't mean, you know, so far to the, you know, to the extreme that you don't know who they are. You
yeah.
know, it's just they're not as popular as McCartney, as Sammy, as David Lee Roth, you know. Jimmy Page.
And here's another option. There were interviews that are out there that were done by other people who worked on
yeah.
Casey over these years that you and I were not necessarily involved in,
mm-hmm.
or I was involved in them a little bit.
Right.
That we could also do, like the one with Shelley Grafman with Smash and I.
Yeah.
And the other one that Smash and I did
Yeah, it was Alice Cooper.
Alice Cooper. Yeah, Alice Cooper. So, you know, those are out there too.
Yeah. So it's all good.
I guess.
All right.
Happy anniversary.
Talk to you in a year. AMF.
AMF, my friend.
The KC Tapes with you, man, and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.